May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 403. Come, every gracious heart that loves the Saviour's name, your noblest powers exert to celebrate his fame. Tell all who fear the Lord below the debt of love to him you owe. Hymn 403. Our reading from God's holy word is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 31 and 32. Isaiah, chapters 31 and 32. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not God, and their horses flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is holpen shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him, from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day, every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord. to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance for ever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our souls, and now help his servant to pray.
Most gracious and merciful Lord God, how we need thee now to draw near, as thou didst to those that journeyed to Emmaus, and that we may be favoured like they were, and to know that sweet communion with thee. Oh, we pray that thou would abide with us this night, for it is toward evening, that your day is far spent. Oh, that thou wouldst come as thou didst to them and visit each of our souls with thy salvation. Oh Lord, do remove from us all distracting thoughts and cares. And may we be like dear John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And oh, do help us, dear Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. May thy spirit rule our spirit. Oh, may we be given grace to humble ourselves before thee. Oh, may it please thee to take away the hard heart that we have by nature. Grant us that heart of flesh and of feeling. May we have a true feeling religion and know what it is to feel thee near. And, O Lord, may it please thee to speak to our souls that we might hear thy voice. Oh, may we have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, Lord, may we know the application of thy precious word, and may it be life and power to us. But, oh, Lord, we come as a poor, needy sinner, needing thy mercy, needing thee to blot out all our sin, all our transgressions. Oh, we pray for that real heart confession to be given to us. We might truly weep and mourn over our sin and after thee. Oh, may thy precious blood be applied to our soul, that we might know our pardon signed, our peace procured. Oh, may we be favoured with a sweet taste of Calvary's peace this night, that peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, we do desire, Lord, that thou wilt grant us those crumbs from the Master's table, and that our souls may feed upon thee and upon thy truth. Knowest those that have come, Lord, with a real appetite for the truth as it is in Jesus, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, we pray thou wilt confirm in us those things that are real. But Lord, do dry up all that that's only flesh. May we never be left to just have a name of religion, or religion that's of our own making. But oh, may we be quickened by thy Spirit and live a life of prayer and faith. And Lord, do strengthen our little faith, we pray. And we have no faith, oh, do grant us a grain of it, we beseech thee. And oh, do take away all the unbelief that we are plagued with. May it please thee, dear Lord, to help us to lean hard upon thee continually, to trust thee where we cannot trace thee. And oh, may we be given more and more grace, Lord, how we need thy grace continually. Oh, that thou wouldst whisper to each of our souls, Lord, those precious words thou didst speak to the apostle. Oh, do speak it to us. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And, O Lord, how we need that grace, that we might endure to the end, that we may hold on our word. Oh, may we know thy restraining grace. Lord, we need thee to restrain us from all that is evil and anything that's grieving to thee. And oh, do grant us, Lord, that upholding grace, that strengthening grace. And may it please thee to grant to us strength for each day, Lord, both in our bodies and our minds, in our souls. And oh, may we draw that strength we need from thee. And knowest how weak and poor and helpless we are in and of ourselves. But oh, may we be able to say with the psalmist, the Lord is my strength and my shield, and I am helped. We pray to know more and more of thy helping hand, Lord. We feel our helplessness more and more. And that without thee we can do nothing. Do come to thy helpless ones this evening. Grant them that help from heaven. That they may be able to say with the apostle, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Oh, do remember each of thy dear people in all their varied pathways, the sorrows they endure. And we pray that thou wilt sanctify all thy dealings to us. We may be profited in them, and that thy precious name may be glorified. And do remember the dear children, dear Lord. Do bless them each, those with us and those in their homes and those away at this time. We pray that they may be kept in these evil days, to help them in their schooling and help the dear parents to continually commit them to thee, and oh, to give them wisdom and grace in the bringing up of their offspring, and hear their prayers and cries. Do bless the dear babes. We thank thee, Lord, for the little one thou hast brought him once again home from hospital. We pray thou wilt go on to heal and restore and strengthen. And do sanctify these things to his dear parents. And Lord, may there be a blessing in the path they have to walk. And Lord, we pray for those away at this time, that they may be refreshed by the change and be brought back safely at the appointed time. And any that have no desire to come, Lord, we pray thou wilt work in them and grant them that real hunger for the truth as it is in Jesus. And bring back the prodigals, Lord, many have forsaken Zion's way. We beg of thee to work, and there may be yet a blessed returning. Lord, we pray too for those that are growing up in years and venturing into life, and those that hope to be married in the coming year. We commend them each lovingly to thee, and that thou wilt smile upon the relationship, and that they may know and feel thy sweet presence with them. And oh, that thou wouldst go before them in all that concerns them. May they see and prove, Lord, thy precious promise. I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. And Lord, we Pray for those in affliction. Many are laid aside, Lord, and we beg of thee, if it's thy will, to heal them and restore them. And, oh, do make each bed in each affliction. And, oh, that thou wouldst whisper to each of thy dear afflicted people those precious words, "Be still, and know that I am God." And, O Lord, grant us each submission to thy mind and will in all things. Keep us from rebelliousness or hardness. May our hearts be truly softened. And, O Lord, do comfort those who are bereaved. We pray for special help on the coming Tuesday, and we pray that thou wilt comfort all that mourn, and all that suffer loss, and that these things may be, Lord, a voice to us each. For thou hast said, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And, oh, may we be prepared to stand before thy face, and be found in a precious Jesus, who remember Zion, Lord, and bless the churches, we pray, and our own flock, and bless thy dear people here. We pray that this may be the birthplace of many yet, and that there may be those constrained by thy mighty love to follow thee in thy sweet commandments and ways. Bless all thy servants, grant them, we pray, that anointing from heaven, and they may be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And may that which is sown in weakness this night be raised in power, dear Lord. And, oh, may we be helped to praise thy holy name continually, and bless thee for the mercies thou dost grant to us, unworthy as we are. We would crown thee Lord of all. And, oh, do remember, Lord, those that are aged and in weakness and infirmed. We pray that thou wilt strengthen them for each day and each hour, and favour them with those evening time blessings. And all that are in trouble and all that need them, do make bare thine arm. And those that are oppressed and persecuted, we pray for thee to command deliverance. And, oh, do turn us as a nation from our wickedness and sin, to serve thee, the only true God. May we yet have faithful, godly leaders, if it be thy holy will raised up. And may we still be favoured with the privileges we are blessed with, and be enabled still to worship thee, none daring lawfully to make us afraid. Overturn and overturn all the workers of iniquity and sin. And we pray thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, that we may yet see the wonders thou alone canst do. Thou anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name, and grant that needed help both in pulpit, in desk and in pew, and empty send us not away. Help us to sing thy praises from our hearts, and do bless the deacons here, and give them that wisdom and guidance and direction in all things, and do bless the hymns they give out. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss, make up where we so fail, and help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1054. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the saints thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Hymn 1054.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 32 and the second verse. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 32 and the verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and are covered from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There are so many precious and sacred promises throughout the Old Testament concerning the glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And every one of those sacred promises the Lord was to fulfill. They were all to be brought to fruition in the Lord's time and in his way. And here we have in this sacred word, in the prophecy of Isaiah, one such promise. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. We shall never know the winds spiritually that come against the child of God unless we got life in our souls. If you look at it in a firstly, in a way naturally, this country has had many winds in the last few years that have battered the land and the sea. And the only way that we know those winds and feel those winds is because we've got life in a natural way. And we feel the effect of them. But if a person is dead, they feel nothing of the wind or the power of it, or the effect of it, because they're dead. And think of it spiritually. This promise is spoken by the Lord to those that feel the winds. They need a hiding place. And I want us helped and to look this evening, firstly, at a few of the winds that batter the child of God. And they feel them. Whereas the dead professor in religion will never feel them. They may speak about winds, but they don't know anything of them in their soul. And we find here the Lord promising to send his beloved Son. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. Not only will you have, child of God, those winds that will batter you on every side, but there's a blessed place where you can hide. And oh, what a mercy that is. You think of a ship tossed around in the ocean. It will seek a place where it can hide from that wind. And how relieving it is to the captain and those on board when they can shelter from that wind. Well, let us as helped. May the Holy Spirit anoint us to bring it before you. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. The first wind we would name is that great wind of sin that is carrying many down to eternal perdition. And they don't realise it's a wind at all. And nor will we unless the Lord quickens us and gives us life, as I intimated just now. And because there's life in the child of God, there's feeling, and they know what it is. And if we're among them, we shall know what it is for sin to be a great wind against us. We're battered by it. And it's not only those outward sins that trouble the child of God, it's the inward sins of the heart. Of the thoughts, of the deeds. One said in the hymn, didn't he? Sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. And are there those of you troubled tonight by those winds of sin that so perplex you and cast you down? I often think of what the hymn writer said, our best is stained and dyed with sin, our all is nothing worth. And the child of God feels it, and they feel this great wind of sin. But the Lord has made for this sin-sick soul a blessed refuge here, a hiding place. Where they can hide from it. There's a sweet couplet, I often quote it, but it's really sweet to my soul. And oh, to be sheltering in his wounded side, till all the storms be overpast. You know, there's a blessed sheltering place, a hiding place for the sinner. In the side of the dear Redeemer. All there is. Well, let me come low. Two things, really. One, do we feel the sin within and the sins that trouble us? And secondly, do we feel the need of an hiding place? There's a sweet line in the hymn, isn't there, in that beautiful hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul. And what does the hymn writer say? Hide me, O my Saviour, hide. And oh, do you feel it? The need of it tonight, and do I? You know, some of those sacred hymns speak the real feeling and longing and language of the child of God, which they cannot themselves maybe put into words. And what does dear Charles Wesley speaks of it, you see? Hide me, O my Saviour, hide. Till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide, oh, receive my soul at last. And a man, now who is this glorious man spoken here, that's the hiding place for sinners? It's none other than the dear Lord Jesus himself. He's the hiding place, and a man shall be as a hiding place. From the wind, the place where you can shelter poor soul from all the rage of sin and all the consequences of it. You go to the into Egypt, into the case of the children of Israel, when the destroying angel was to go forth, and what do we find? There was only one place of safety and of refuge where they could hide. Nowhere else. The only place of safety and of refuge and hiding place they could have was under the blood. And I speak this with much reverence. You see, they were instructed by the Lord to take the best of the lambs. It hadn't got to be a lame one or anything with an ailment in it at all. It got to be the best of the flock. It had got to be killed. It got to be slain. And the blood was to be sprinkled on the doorposts and on the lintel of those houses where the children of Israel dwelt. There was their safety. There was the place they could hide. So when the destroying angel went forth, they were safe. They had a blessed hiding place. Now there's two sweet things here, first of all. One is that lamb must be pure, the best of the flock. And oh, how beautifully, and I speak it with much reverence, that illustrates the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. There's your hiding place, poor soul, in him. And you see how that lamb was to wonderfully set forth a beautiful illustration of the dear Redeemer. But the second thing was that blood they sheltered under. And oh, think of the precious blood of Jesus. We read, don't we? Was it not Peter said it? As a lamb without spot, without blemish. Pure, holy, and that precious blood is. And it can cleanse poor soul, the blackest and vilest of sinners, of all sin. Oh, are we sheltering tonight under that precious blood? Well, the Lord is the witness. And who is it that needs it? It's those that are plagued by the wind of sin. And they feel the sin. And they feel the need of that precious blood. They feel the need of the hiding place. Oh, I shall never forget going into the old chapel at Chatham many years ago now. It must have been 1962, if I remember rightly. And they gave out that beautiful hymn, 134, and you can read it at your leisure. Dear Mr. Brewer, when he penned it, spoke so much of that hiding place for sinners. He says, "Hail sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal covenant rang, almighty love arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view, to Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared. She led me on with placid peace, whereto? To Jesus as my hiding place. Should storms of sevenfold thunder roll and shake the globe from pole to pole, no flaming bolt could daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, that must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race, and thus became their hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me on fair Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the songs of grace and see my glorious hiding place. And you know, as we sung that beautiful hymn, it just broke me for pieces. And oh, the wonderful language through it. To my soul, I felt it just described everything of my life and pathway and everything I was in. And oh, the need of that blessed hiding place. But I must hasten, and a man shall be as an hiding place to your poor soul with all the sins that trouble you. There's this blessed hiding place, and we would ever direct the poor sinner to the dear Redeemer as their hiding place. Don't go anywhere else, poor soul. We read in the chapter previous, didn't we? Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Don't go anywhere else, only to the dear Redeemer. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Where are you hanging tonight and night? Is it upon this precious blood and blessed person of the dear Redeemer? And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. The second wind I would name is this: the wind of unbelief. Oh, how often my poor soul is plagued by it. Well, could we say with the hymn writer, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. It may be in something you're in tonight, and oh, the unbelief that plagues you. But poor soul, there's a hiding place for the battered, tempest-tossed sinner, the plagued by unbelief. And why do you have to go to this hiding place when you're troubled by this wind of unbelief? Is because in the dear Redeemer is all the faith and grace that you need. You can shelter there from all the storm of unbelief. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, from that wind of unbelief that so plagues you. Oh, may the Lord grant to us, as we try to pray in prayer in our poor way, that faith to believe, that faith to look to him, that faith to trust in him. Because in the dear Redeemer is everything you need, in this glorious man, you see, a real man, whose wounds are still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and sides. And through this glorious man, you see, will flow the peace to still that wind. You think of the dear disciples, and they proved it, didn't they? You know, when they were battered upon the sea, there in the ship. And oh, as they sea raged and the wind so tossed them around, there was only one that could cause that sea to cease its raging, and that was the dear Redeemer. You know, I've often thought, and I may have mentioned it here, but, you know, he walked on that sea. They were fearing it, weren't they? There may be those winds that you're fearing tonight. I may not name them, but the Lord knows and your heart knows what they are. And you look at this raging wind and storm and you fear it. And so did the disciples. But what did the Saviour do? He came walking upon it. It was nothing to him. He had all power to subdue it. He had all power to cause the wind to cease and make there a great calm. Oh, I love that 925th hymn, you know. This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And you know the disciples were to experience it, weren't they? That sweet peace. And the storms that may be coming against you and this wind tonight, whether it's unbelief or sin or whatever it be, the Lord can cause it in a moment to cease and there be sweet peace. When thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man, thy peace shall be. There's a blessed hiding place, you see, in the dear Redeemer. But then there's the wind of the world. You know, many forsaking the house of God, going into the world, giving up the things they were brought up in, and they're carried by this wind of worldliness. And solemnly in some of our chapels it's creeping in and carrying many, you see. You see the power we've seen and the winds in this nation. We think back in the hurricane and all the winds of devastation. You can read of it or hear of it throughout the earth when these winds naturally come. And they're all in the hands of the Lord, and they never come by chance. But oh, may we hear the voice of the Lord in them. But oh, poor soul, there's a place you can hide from this wind of worldliness and of carnality and the winds of our old nature. You know, it's a solemn thing when we're left to ourselves and to our own spirit and to our old nature. It's a terrible wind to the real exercised child of God. But oh, poor soul, you go to this blessed hiding place Lord, save me from myself. Save me from my unbelief. Save me from my sin. Save me from all the winds of Satan. Let us come to that. Oh, the winds of Satan. You know, he goeth about in these solemn days as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we read on that occasion with the disciples and another occasion when the devil got in the sea, trying to destroy the dear disciples, wasn't it? You know, he can cause some wind, Satan can. He huffs and puffs. You see, you read in the psalmist where he speaks about the puffings of Satan, the great power he has. And how he tempts the child of God, and he may be with you. He's so tempting you tonight and troubling you. Where can you go to be free from all the onslaughts of the winds of Satan? Well, our text is the blessed answer. And a man. This glorious man, the Lord Jesus himself, that real man, who's touched with the feelings of the infirmities of his people, this glorious man, is thy hiding place. Flee to him, poor sinner. Don't go anywhere else. And then, of course, there are the winds of trouble, aren't there? Of circumstance or troubles in our souls. Where can we go? Whither shall the sinner flee? Well, to this glorious man. You know, we can never speak high enough of this precious man, that lovely man that rules the courts of bliss, the man Christ Jesus. And let us pause a moment. You see, he bore all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare. Oh, you think how when the wrath of God was poured out because of the sins of his dear bride, he bore it all for them. They can hide in him because he's bore the wrath of God for them, endured it all. And all the condemnation of God's holy law. We sing, don't we, boy, all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. You know, there's such a oneness, isn't there, if I may, I hadn't thought of saying this, but there's a wonderful oneness between the birth of the dear Redeemer, his glorious life, and all that he accomplished in it, and then his suffering. And then I speak with much reverence his glorious death and resurrection. You see, we celebrate at this time of the year, don't we, his glorious coming. But what did he come for? To redeem his dear people. To provide for them, our text says, a blessed hiding place. This is why he came. And oh, you look at all that wondrous work of salvation which he wrought out. And now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. What for? To make intercession for poor sinners. To plead on their behalf. To present their poor cries, yours and mine, spotless and pure to before a holy God. And a man. I cannot get away from these beautiful words. And a man. I'm trying to pray yesterday, the Lord had given me a text to bring before you as this evening. I'd had the other one a day or two with me, but we had this morning, but I said, Lord, what have we got to bring tonight? And it dropped in so sweetly, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. From the wind. And then, of course, the winds of affliction. Many of God's dear children today are laid aside in affliction, aren't they? Oh, those winds of affliction, where shall we go in them? Well, we know it's right to try the means, but you know the means can only be blessed by the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, to look above all earthly physicians to the great physician that can heal all diseases, both of body and of soul and of mind. You see, nothing is too hard for him. Think of dear top lady, and again to the hymn, Rock of Ages. You think of the dear man as he sheltered from that storm. The text goes on to say, doesn't it? As a man, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest. You see, a place to shelter. My mind went as we sat in the vestry this evening to dear David. You think of the times he was hunted by Saul like a partridge upon the mountains. And all the hiding place he needed to hide from Saul and from all the enemies that tried to destroy dear David. And here as he flees to the cave, what does he say in Psalm 57 in that beautiful first verse? He says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Is that your petition? There he was, fleeing for his life. He needed the mercy of God, and so do you, and so do I, don't we? Were not for thy mercy, we could not dwell here. Sin soon would reduce us to utter despair. But what does David go on to say? For my soul trusteth in thee. You know, it's no use him trusting in himself. It was no use him trusting in any man. But, oh, the only place he could trust was in his God, who was his hiding place. And then he says this, yea, the shadow of thy wings, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. And you know, he could shelter under those wings of the Lord, couldn't he? And what are those wings? His everlasting love. And you know, the wings of love overshadow David. And those wings of love overshadow every one of the Lord's dear children. And may we feel those wings over. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Why? Until all these calamities be overpast. It may be with you in your providential pathway. It may be in your soul. It may be in your family when you consider Zion and all the calamities there are. Oh, there's a mercy here. There's a place of refuge for sinners. In this blessed hiding place, this glorious man. And David knew what it was to shelter there, didn't he? Where are you sheltering? Go back to just the top lady, I just hinted at it just now. When he sheltered from that storm and could write that beautiful hymn, Rock of Ages, he knew what it was to need a hiding place, didn't he? Oh, to be sheltered in this glorious man. You may have got these calamities, but poor soul, go to this hiding place. Don't go anywhere else. There's your safety, you see. We sing, don't we, in the hymn, all my safety is in thee. And David proved it. You know, the time Saul tried to destroy him, the Philistines tried to destroy him, his enemies continually tried to destroy him, but they couldn't touch him, could they? Oh, no. I may have told you before, the dear old lady we used to have at the Dicker, and you know, her husband passed away, and she was such a fearful lady. How was she going to live alone? She went to bed that first night after he was taken, you know, trembling. She said, in herself, she said, like, Lord, I cannot stay here. She feared. And as she uttered it before the Lord spoke to her. And he said this, in that beautiful hymn, a sovereign protector I have. Unseen, yet forever at hand. And she was so overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord and his watchful care over her as she lay there. She said, you know, all the fears were gone in a moment. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus. Holds the helm and guides the ship. Spreads the sails to catch the breezes, sent to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. You know, he still holds all things in his hand, poor soul. Our life's minutest circumstance. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest. And then the Holy Spirit seems to wonderfully confirm this in a completely different way. As rivers of water in a dry place. And you think of those rivers of water, look at it first naturally, in a dry place. How refreshing that is. To see rivers of water in a dry, parched land. For those that dwell there, rivers of water. Now think about it in our hearts, in our pathways. Do we not need those times of sweet refreshing? Those times of sweet reviving? He revives our little hope, he revives our love. He revives our souls when we are barren and dead and lifeless. Rivers of water. And oh, you think of those sweet wells of Bethlehem. You know, in the dear Redeemer, there's those refreshing waters. What did Jesus say to the woman of Samaria? The water that I will give thee shall be a well of water springing up in thee unto everlasting life. A well of water. Thirsty sinner, you see, come and draw. You've got all these storms, these winds that are trying to destroy you. As rivers of water. This is what this glorious man is to his dear people. Rivers of water in a dry place. You know, we're often dry and barren and dead, aren't we, in our souls? Well, I speak for myself. I'll leave the other with you. But, you know, if we know our own heart, we're solemnly there, we are. But, oh, to have those sweet, refreshing visits from the Lord, from Zion's King, as rivers of water. The rivers of his everlasting love. we read this morning in the reading at a friend's house, didn't we, that beautiful psalm, "All my springs are in thee." And what a mercy it is that there are these springs flow forth from the dear Redeemer. As rivers of water in a dry place, the rivers, when he flows in with his love and the sweet communion with the dear Redeemer, fellowship with him, a sweet flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. You know, in Isaiah and too in Jeremiah, there's that beautiful word. If I remember rightly, I preached from it here some years ago. You know, it's a very sacred word to the children of God in Jeremiah's day, when they had been in captivity and bondage so many years. And what does he say here? "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd." And then this beautiful word, "And their soul shall be as a watered garden." And you know, a watered garden, especially in a dry season, is so refreshed by it, isn't it? Everything revives. And oh, they were to know this, and it all was to flow from the dear Lord Jesus. "And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all." I must leave it. "As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." You know, in a weary land of the desert, what a wonderful place is the rock. And it's not just the rock. Christ is the rock of sinners, but it's not just that rock in the weary land, but you know, the shadow of it. But for there to be a shadow, there must be an object. And under that shadow, you know, they used to shelter from the raging of the sun, the heat of it. And you know, in the heat of summer, it's wonderful to be under a shadow, isn't it? And the refreshing place it is from all the heat. But this is what the dear Redeemer, you think of how the Holy Spirit has recorded it, and I've only just hinted at it this evening, concerning this glorious man and what he is to his dear people. And one thing, as the close of the text speaks, as a shadow of a great rock, a heavy rock, the margin says, in a weary land. And are we not in a weary land today? The solemn day in which we live, you know, the child of God will often say with the hymn writer, "Weary of earth, myself and sin. Dear Jesus, take me in." And oh, that'll be your longing, you see. But those souls that know this glorious man here will long to be with him forever in glory and see him as he is. Mr. Lewis, and I've quoted it before, used to say as he closed his sermon those last three Sabbaths of his life, he said, you know, these precious words, "My soul anticipates the day, would mount up on wings and fly away to joys beyond the skies." away from all the winds of sin and sorrow and distress and all the winds of Satan and of unbelief and many winds I've not named. But while we're here, may we be sheltering in this blessed hiding place till the storm of life is past. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £665, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Peck will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. And God willing, our friends at Penstanton will hold their Christmas morning service at 9:30. Let us close with hymn 405. 'Twixt Jesus and the chosen race subsists a bond of sovereign grace, that hell with its infernal train shall ne'er dissolve nor rend in twain. Hymn 405.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep this night. May there be a little that abides. Do be with us each through this sacred season. May we know the realities of it in our souls. And may we have this glorious man as our hiding place, our dear Redeemer forever. Forgive what's been amiss, dear Lord, and take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.